Glad to have you here at church. You know, my wife is here, and guess what? She's sick. So this morning at 1 o'clock, she came down with a sinus infection so bad that she couldn't go back to sleep. So the devil must be really wroth with me. He really must be. And I have to tell you, the challenges are really great to have two churches and kind of bounce back and forth with the demands. And I almost think with 10 churches, I told a brother coming in, it would be easier because they know you have one pastor split between. But when you have two churches and you run to Winston, run back here, and then you have ordination, and you know. But I want you to know I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be your pastor. I love you, and I hope you love me back because I love you, and I'm glad to be here. And it is good to see Arlene here this morning, her and Mel. God has been good. And the great for Nona's family, your whole family, grandchildren, that's wonderful to have them here. And so it's my prayer that God will bless you. What I'm going to say this morning is a kind of an interesting message. I want to address something that may not be taking place now within Adventism. But I based this on a conversation I had yesterday with a man who was at one time a union president. I really believe, I say this in all honesty, that whether or not we are Seventh-day Adventists, we are headed for a storm in this world. The forces on all sides are wroth with the church. And as the church goes through some of these tremendously challenging times in which we are living, I think that we ought to be aware that the church itself will not be unscathed. The church now may not at all look like the church in the future. So I'm going to talk to you about four classes of people in the church. And I do not mean this to downgrade any one particular class. I'm simply going to talk to you. There are basically four classes. Paul saw that in Chloe's household. It is a warning, and I'm in good company because, listen, Jesus himself warned about the coming issues. And just because I'm talking about division does not mean that I believe we're in division. We are not. Sutherland Church loves the Lord. Amen. In fact, at funeral yesterday for Cliff, I said to one of the people, this is a loving church family. It is. You love each other. I look around at miracles here. Look at the miracle you had. And you and Marvin. And Arlene and Mel. I mean, Gary and Bobby. We could go on and on. Mike had knee surgery. You know, God is a wonderful God. He really is. He's an incredibly praiseworthy God. And yet when I look at these challenges we're facing, if you knew what I know, you would say, oh my. Because, you know, as a pastor, I get in on all this information, and sometimes it's not great for you to know anyways, but I do want to talk to you about four classes. It does not mean, if you're in one of these areas, that it's somewhat less than being in another area. It just means that we are all different. Are you with me? We're all different. Jesus said, Matthew 24, the following. Listen to this. Watch and let no one deceive you. Understand the times you're living in. It's a cautionary note. Be aware. In Matthew 24:15, he actually talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. Far in advance, he said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the army, the Roman army, you know the end is near, even at the door. So he gave certain cautionary notes. And I believe just before the Lord comes, there will be a false gospel taught by some. I want you to turn with me to Galatians. And last night I spent a long time on the book of Galatians. I want to give you some verses as we preempt this message. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. If you would, and you have your Bible there, please listen to this. I'm amazed, said Paul, that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. To what? What does your Bible say? A different gospel, which is not another. Why? Because there is no other. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he goes on to say that even if an angel from heaven comes and preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. Turn quickly to Galatians 2:16. I spent hours on this last night, just this one verse. He says three times we're not justified by works. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That means he is not justified by how well he does. He is not declared righteous by his righteousness, by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be, here he says it again, justified by faith in Christ. That we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by works of the law no flesh will be justified. Look at verses 2 through 4. I want you to catch this. How many of you love the Word of God? You know what I love about it? It brings assurance to my heart knowing that God accepts me based solely on the merits of His Son. That is so good. That encourages me. Listen to verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them. That is Peter, James, and John. The reputed pillars of the church. And that's kind of interesting because he says, well, what they are didn't add anything to me. That's kind of interesting. And I communicated with them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, unchurched, was compelled to be circumcised, the indication of the church. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out what? What did they do? Our liberties. I remember when I was planning a church, a lady came in with a big video camera. I walked over to her and I asked her, ma'am, what are you doing? She said, I'm taping your service. This is terrible. And I said, what's terrible? These young people up front playing guitar and praising God. It's terrible. I said, I want you to take your video camera and leave. And I opened it to Galatians. You're spying out the liberty we have in Jesus Christ. Goodbye. Well, I never, she said. That's kind of a favorite phrase. Well, I never. And I never saw her again. Was she determined? Oh, yes. Did she believe what she saw? Well, she believed it was apostasy. There was a little girl, she was with her dad, and they were driving along in the car. She said, Daddy, what a sign that is. And he said, what do you mean, honey? She said, look at that, the church untied. It was on a big bulletin board. He said, honey, no, they don't mean untied. They mean the church united. One letter was left out. So I want to give you a cautionary note. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. That's our scripture. I want you to catch this now. I want you to hear what Paul said. This is not Rocky talking. It is Paul. Let me ask you a question first. Do you mind me preaching Bible sermons like this that cause you to investigate? Is that okay? Are we here to investigate the scriptures? I don't want to just tell you nice stories. I want us to look at the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 10 through 13. Now listen to this. This is really good. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happen. 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13. Now, I plead with you, brethren, I'm begging you, he says, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak what? Say it with me. The same thing. That there be no schismata, splits among you, but that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, one mind in Christ. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you, now here's my four divisions. Each of you says, I am a Paul. Oh man, I love Paul, you know. Who do you follow? I follow Paul. Yeah, I'm a Paul follower. Or I'm Apollos. I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to any church that doesn't have a dynamic preacher. I follow Apollos. Number three, well, you know, I love the church and it's message driven and I believe in the truth and I'm going to follow Peter. Now, I'm not saying this to deride this. And then the last one, I follow who? I follow Jesus. Well, we don't believe in a church. We just love the Lord. You know, I follow Jesus. Four schisms in the church. And it was threatening to tear the body of Christ apart. So, you have your sermon notes. This is one of those information messages. You know what I pray? I pray this will not become prophetic. I pray this. But I can tell you this, we are headed for a storm within the church. And we need to cling to Jesus Christ and love each other. Amen. If we do not, we will not make it home. When you come to Sutherland, I hope and pray when you leave, people say, you went to church today. And they ask you, well, what happened? Well, we met God. So here we are. Splits in the church, Paul says, there's an element here. Let me talk to the first group. Followers of Paul symbolize the unchurched. I follow Paul, the apostle. One of the scriptures is Acts chapter 15, verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter, and when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe so. So God knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 46. You know, I preach this message and it's never the same in each church. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that a word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you rejected it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for the Lord has commanded us. And you can read the rest. God raised Paul. Look at chapter 15, beginning in verse 6. Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged to them, giving them the Holy Spirit as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. You understand, it wasn't just Paul, but Peter as well spoke to Gentiles. Cornelius is a prime example. Acts 18, 6 and Acts 22, 16 and 17. What is very interesting is you can read about Paul. Paul said, I was called to the unchurched. What does that mean? For 3 years, he didn't go to Jerusalem. And then for 14 years, he said, I went up to meet the pillars of the church. And that word pillar in the Greek means the institutional church. Peter walked on water. James, the brother of Jesus. And John, the great rudder of the apocalypse. And he says, they added nothing to me. How could you say that, Paul? He meant that I have a distinct revelation from Jesus Christ in Acts 9 to preach to the unchurched. There is an element in Adventism that believes our sole burden should be to reach unchurched. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We have Seeds Ministry. Have you ever heard of that? We send people to Andrews University to learn how to reach unchurched. Churches like Willow Creek, Saddleback, have concentrated their mission to reach the unchurched. I attempted that in Arizona. We called it the board, the burn, and the bypassed. The three B's. And that's who I ministered to. But I realized that nobody's unchurched. Everybody has something they believe in. There's no such thing as being unchurched. You can say, I don't go to church. But you believe in something. A man once told me, I don't believe in God. And I said, yes, you do. He said, I do not. I said, yes, you do. He said, why do you say that? I said, you just use his name. He said, well, you're saying I believe in God. I'm telling you I don't believe in God. I said, the very mention of his name tells me you believe in him. Do you believe there's a right and there's a wrong? Of course, everybody does. I said, how do you know? How do you know what's right and wrong? Well, I know it. I was taught it. Well, who taught the one who taught you? The Bible says only God is good. So how do you know? He finally had to admit there was a God. Well, what am I saying here? I'm saying here that in the church there exists an element that actually believes we ought to reach unchurched people alone. And that means, now I say this in kindness, and don't look at the clock, please. I know I did, but don't you. Here's the problem. Sometimes we try to pattern everything we do for unchurched. Do you know what I'm talking about? And what happens is we drive a wedge in the very people we target between them and the ones we want them to join. Are you with me? I was in a praise band. I led praise. And, you know, I was in South Salem and I finally said, I love playing guitar. I do. But I want a church that's inclusive, not exclusive. And I love the hymns. I told a preacher friend of mine, I love these old hymns. He said, oh, I love the modern day praise music. I said, that's good. I sang it for 10 years. I want you to know something. I love singing songs at Sutherland Church. I love it. Would I ever do again a ministry that split a church by aiming it and targeting one audience. No, I would not. I'm an old man. I've learned a lot of lessons. Either the preaching is relevant or it's not relevant. If we're going to try to make the whole program to fit one class of people and exclude a whole church, in my opinion, we are making a mistake. I'm just giving you my opinion. Boy, this sermon is going to go to somebody out there, I'm sure. Did you hear what Pastor Gill said? Well, you know what he thinks of praise ministry. I love praise ministry. It's okay for somebody else. Let somebody else play guitars. And I love to play guitar. I'm not saying it's wrong. But what I'm telling you is that I don't follow a ministry that just tries to reach on church. And you know what's happening? Oh, you've got to hear this. Willow Creek just put out a communique. For years, they've tried to reach on church. How well have they done? Pretty well. 25,000 attending. I've been there 12 times. I've been to their services. I've heard Bill Hybels. I have talked to close leaders there. And now they're reshifting their whole emphasis. They realize that a lot of the people that have come have heard pablum. They haven't heard the word of God, and they're leaving. See, once you tell a person who doesn't know a lot about God, he wants to know more. Say amen. So if he's going to come and hear the same thing week after week, he's saying, I want to be fed. I want to know the word of God. By the way, I have to read this carefully. I do not want to offend anyone. That's my prayer. I love you all. Do I love unchurched? Oh, my. My best friends are unchurched. They're the people I meet at the Walmarts. You know, unchurched in the sense of attending. Listen to this. Do you know it's easier to start a new church than work with one that's struggling? It is. A pastor friend of mine said, I've had it. I'd rather start a new church. That's what he said. Well, God didn't call me here to start a new church. He called me here to encourage you to study, pray, and be prepared to meet Jesus and go home. Here's what Ellen White does say, however. The ministers of Christ should take their position and not be hindered in their work by these agents of Satan. Who are these agents of Satan? They are the ones who split the church with grumbling. There will be enough of those to question, quibble, and criticize to keep the ministers of God constantly busy if they will allow themselves to be detained from the great work of giving the last message of warning to the world. Now listen to this. If the church has no strength to stand against the unsanctified, rebellious feelings of church grumblers, it is, she can't be saying this, better to let church and grumblers go overboard together than lose the opportunity of saving hundreds who would make better churches. Evangelism 371. Oh, I remember like yesterday. It was one of those church boards. The man came in and he looked at the clerk and he called her names and the church was split. And I prayed and prayed. And I said, my brother, that language is unfitting here, and I want you to leave. And he said, you've let this church be taken over by... And he went on and on and on. He was well-to-do. In fact, I met up with him again 5 years ago. He took me to lunch back in New England. And he said, well, I said the truth. I said, you know something? You have split this church yourself. He said, what are you saying? I said, you have split this church. You know what his whole burden was? We need to get out there in the community. Let me tell you something. Here's the way I view evangelism. If you're on fire for Christ, you are born again, you are an evangelist. You share who you are. Say amen to that. You go out and share who you are. I am a born again, Christ bought sinner who loves Jesus. And so I go out and share it. I don't care who he is. Pumping gas the other day. I'm talking to the guy pumping gas. He wanted to get to another customer. I couldn't let him leave, you know. They pump gas for you. So you get him in the gas pump and he's trying to run. And you're saying, what do you think about Jesus? And he, here he is with his pump in his hand. And see, that's the way I believe. I'm not holding myself up. But brothers and sisters, we all need to be evangelists. Unchurched is one element. Okay, second, listen to this. There's a second division in the church. Paul would call the charismatic or the eloquent speaker. I don't know how eloquent a speaker I am. All I know is I love Jesus. But this eloquent speaker was from the charismatic element. And listen to this. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in Scripture. Boy, he knew the Scripture. But here's the point as you read on. He knew the Scripture as he knew the Scripture. I want you to catch this. He was mighty in the Scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Listen to this. Listen to what the Bible is saying. Although He knew only the baptism of John. So he only had a partial understanding. But boy, was he on fire. Here's this eloquent man. I want you to hear this. Without saying anything deep, do not follow a man. This church has been hurt in the past when we followed men. Let's not. Would you say amen to that? I don't care who they are. They're ahead of some ministry, or they belong here, or they belong there. I don't care who they are. They're men. We follow Jesus Christ. And I'll get to that in just a moment. Here's some important facts to keep in mind about him. He was eloquent. He was fervent in spirit. Very fervent in spirit. In fact, he was, we would say, on fire. But listen, here's the point. He only had a partial understanding of truth. And here's the problem. He taught others his understanding of truth, so he taught others error. Did he not? Sure he did. He taught the baptism of John. He was one of John's disciples. He didn't know what it meant to be saved by grace. Repent, be converted. That was his approach. And you know that sounded good. If I stand up and say to you, repent, be converted, it sounds, it's biblical. But there's more. What do you do once you're converted? How are you converted? You find Jesus Christ, or he finds you, and he becomes your Lord, your Savior, your Master, your teacher. Say amen. So the scriptures were skewed in his understanding. He understood the repentant side of scriptures. He did not have a grasp on how God accepts people where they are. John did not. Apollos, he was like John. Even if it was not his intention, with his charisma, people followed him. People who are charismatic tend to draw people. I hope I am charismatic. It means full of grace. But I don't want you following me. After Apollos was taught the truth, and listen to this, he was taught the truth by Aquila and Priscilla. They invited him in, and they taught him the truth more accurately. It's really interesting. You know, when I read the Bible, you come to stories that blow you away because they're so interesting. And when I read Scripture, I read again in 1 Corinthians 3:4. One says, I am Paul, or I am another, I am Apollos. Are you not carnal? If you find a man, you're not born again. If you follow a man. Verse 22, listen to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 22. I like this. Whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. They belong to Jesus Christ. He represents that aspect in a church that's dynamic. I remember a friend of mine. Boy, was he dynamic. He was only 32. And oh, could he preach. And I said to him one day, come aside. And I took him aside and I said, you don't know the truth. He said, what? Who are you to tell me that? I said, you don't know the truth. Let's take our Bibles and study together. And after a week, he said, I've been preaching this and it wasn't even truth. And people have been saying amen. You know why? Because they were not investigating Scripture, Acts 17:11. They were not searching the Scriptures to compare. That's why I give you notes. If I'm wrong, you compare it. So there's an element there that said we follow a man. The third element is what I would call the church group, the institutionalized church, and that is Peter. And I want you to look at Galatians chapter 2 with me, verses 6. Please read this when you're home this afternoon. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, Paul's talking, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man, for those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the Jews, or the circumcised, also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. Paul's saying, listen, God worked in Peter. Peter walked on water. How would you like to be around Peter? You know how Peter was? He had a big mouth. I walked on water. I bet you can't duplicate that one. That only happened once in Scripture and I did it. I'm the man. I'm the rock. My name is Rocky. He's what we call the institutionalized church. And that's not wrong. That's not wrong. Peter stands for those, and here's the best verse to describe Peter. Turn to 2 Peter 1:12. This is Peter. Here he is, right here. I've read his writings, and I love Peter. Do I like Peter as well as Paul? No. Personally, I do not. But that's because I love what Paul says about righteousness by faith. Peter believes in righteousness by faith, but he couches it a little more in the institutional church, verse 12. 2 Peter 1 and verse 12, and here it is. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in what? In the present truth. And here's Peter. You need to follow the truth. You need to keep the truth. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And here's the point. Paul believed in ministering to the Jews, but Peter represented the church. And here's what he represented. Well, we're not letting anybody teach Sabbath school who doesn't teach the truth. Is that good? Yes. Peter was message-driven. Oh, Paul was Christ-driven. Apollos was Spirit-driven. And I can imagine people saying to Apollos, oh my, oh can you preach? And then some guy like me comes along. That was a good sermon. But Peter, Paul said he doesn't add anything to me. That's interesting. He doesn't add anything to me. But Peter is the one who says, we need the truth. Do I agree with that? Wholeheartedly. Do I love Peter? Yes. You may be a Paul here today. You may be one of those people who come to church and say, I'd like to see a little dynamic interplay here between the pastor and the congregation. I don't want to be like the frozen chosen and skate the aisle. A man was talking to me one day, and I said, did you know we have a church in Florida with all these people with wheelchairs? I call them my holy rollers. And instead of saying, would you come forward, I say, wheel them forward, folk. Peter stood up for the church. Thank the Lord for Peter. In May 1987, National Geographic, there was a feature article about an Arctic wolf. I want you to catch this. Author David Metch described how a 17-member pack of wolves targeted several musk oxen calves who were guarded by 11 adults. 11. Let's try that again. Not 16. 11. And they had the calves in the center, and these 11 adults faced the calves with their sharp hooves outside, so the wolves would walk around the outside of the pack. They could not get to the babies in the middle. Now watch this. Then a single ox broke rank. One of these 11 broke rank, and the herd scattered into nervous little groups. A skirmish ensued. The adults fled, leaving the calves to the mercy of the predators, and not a one was left. My brothers and sisters, we better guard the church, because everything that can be and will be is going to take place. You're going to have to trust what you read in Scripture, not what you see or hear, or even how you feel. Do you agree with that? Okay, the fourth and last group is the Jesus group that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this sounds very good. I follow Christ. I was at Church of Christ meeting one day, and this lady said, well, it was at a funeral, and she said, I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, oh, yes. She said, but I finally found a church that has the right name. I said, please pass this by me again. She said, Church of Christ. Christ named his church. I said, sister, you can't be serious. Oh, she said, I'm dead serious. I said, a church is not identified by its name. It is identified by the precepts and principles that define it as biblical. And Seventh-day Adventists are a biblical movement. Would you say amen to that? Amen. You belong to the end-time church. This is it. If there was a better movement, I'd be out there. Oh, she said, oh, you still believe that? I said, sister, let me sit down with you for an hour. She said, well, we're at a funeral. I said, that's true. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I will lead you in the truth. There is a truth. And in life, I will be the one. The Seventh-day Adventist has true truths that identify it, and that is the Sabbath and the Second Advent. We believe that this church represents the end-time church. How many of you believe that? Well, how do you stay united? How do you stay together? Understand the nature of the church. You are not alone. I don't care who you are. Every one of you sees something different. Raise your hand if you agree. When I talk about the second coming of Jesus, to you it means something maybe other than me. You know what happens to me? The problem I have is I get so carried away with the coming of Jesus that I visualize it actually happening. In my mind, I can see it. And so when I preach it to you, I see it. The clouds parting. The king sitting on a cloud of angels. My guardian angel coming down quickly from that cloud, taking me by the arm and escorting me up to meet the others in the clouds of heaven. Oh, glory be. How could you not be eloquent with that one, right? So you understand that we are a body and we're all different. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 and 27. Number two, unity. Never tear down the people you're part of to force your own opinion. You're part of a group. Listen to each other. Love each other. The greatest tragedy, how can I say this without, I don't want to cover ground here, but I want to say this to you. You cannot split a church. A leader, anyone in leadership can split a church in 5 minutes that takes hours and weeks and months to rebuild. I would rather leave a church than hurt a church. God called me to lift up Jesus Christ. He brought me to you. I believe that with my whole heart. God brought me down here. And I know that because the enemy's wrath in every quadrant, you know. Invest your energy, your time, your talent, your finances in this movement. If you're too busy living for God, God might become too busy for you. Listen, test your opinions. Bounce them off godly people around you. If you're going to have unity, ask someone, what do you think and why? Yield. Be willing to say, I don't have all the light. Acts 17 said the Athenians spent all their time in finding out what was new. New light. You know, sometimes I study the Bible and new light comes out to me. It does. It really does. New light comes out. But it reinforces the old light I've already had. Amen? Let me tell you a story. Oh, this is good. My wife and I are in the house last night. And she's not feeling well. And I'm in the living room. And the dog starts barking. He's a long Pekingese. I mean, long Pekingese. He looks like his mom must have gotten mated with a dachshund. And he has little short stubby legs. But boy, when he climbs, I'm holding onto this thing. He's like a little husky and pulling away on me. Well, he starts to bark. My wife said, look. I ran over to the window and I looked out. Here are two mama deer with their babies. And one of the babies was probably 2 foot high. Little spots just coming up. And I looked and I said, this is beautiful. And they were right by our picture window and the dog is going into orbit. And I'm saying, shut up. And he's going, woof, woof. When he goes on and on and on and on. And when he does, he thinks he sounds like a St. Bernard. Woof, 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 woof. You know, he does this thing. He could only see himself, right? So the deer traverse the house and my wife runs in the back master bedroom. Watch this. Here's the window. Here's a baby deer, a foot and a half away from the window, and my wife is by the window, and this little face looks. If there was no window, you could reach out, touch the baby. And then I saw something. I want to close with this. This is good. On the brick wall in the home next to ours was a cat. Didn't bother the cat. The deer were there. The deer weren't bothered that the cat was there. Here's the cat looking at them, looking around, looking at them. And they walk within 3 feet of this cat. One place was 2 feet. And the cat, it was funny. The cat's watching these deer go by and he isn't even responding. And I'm thinking to myself, if a wild deer and a tame cat can live together in harmony, why can't we in the church? Is that good? Why can't we? Even if you don't agree with me, can we not love one another? How many of you think that's true? I wasn't going to do this, but I want you to join me if you'd like to tell God, Lord, I need a fresh breath of your love so that I can see myself and others differently. Won't you stand up? And those like you join me, I want to invite you to come forward. I want to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your life this morning so that you learn how to be a lover of people, and that Sutherland can be guarded and protected by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that no matter whatever happens in our life, you know, we're part of a body. Amen? Amen. And when one hurts, we all hurt. You know, we have so many folk who've gone through miraculous things. You know, Chuck is back to work. He has COPD and he's back to work. I mean, you're a miracle. A church cannot live with these kind of miracles without celebrating them.
Amen.
Here's Mike with a new knee. Marilyn, Arlene, we could go on and on and on about you all being here and how God brought you. We're not all alike. We don't see everything the same way, but we love each other. Amen?
Amen.
Let's be builders of each other. Amen. Not dividers, but builders. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, you are a wonderful, wonderful God. We think of our lives, Lord, how we are created, and how there's only one of us. Sometimes, Lord, we're happy about that, that there's just one of us. But then we realize, Lord, because there is only one person exactly like me, and that is me, that I am unique. So I may not see things the way another person might see them, but I can so love, and that person can love me back. And the walls that divide us can fall. Help us to be builders. I pray this today in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. Amen. God bless you for coming. May the Lord be with you and give his countenance upon you. Give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Did you enjoy being here today?
Amen.
Hey, we have great meetings here with God, do we not?